Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening. How you guys doing? So my dad said he couldn't make it tonight, and he said he needed rest. Then I found out it's the second game of the World Series. I'm not saying that that's what he's doing, but that's definitely what he's doing. It's funny, my dad and I, we bond over a few things, but baseball, we both watch. I don't know why we don't watch it together. We both watch it at our own homes by ourselves, but we text each other the whole time, and it's been really funny. You know, we'll be constantly pretending like we're the coaches, and it's fun. So the game's going on. Everybody that was online just now that was a Dodger fan or the sports fan in general just turned it off. So that's not good. But if you're watching this in the future and the Dodgers won, then that's awesome. I'm really happy. If not, don't call me, all right, or don't hit me up on Facebook. But anyway, hope you guys are doing good. Tonight's message is The Upside of Fear, and I want to talk to you guys about that in a moment. First, I had a thought, and it's funny because when I'm back there praying for the message, I'm praying for you guys, and I'm just connecting with God. I had this thought, and how many of you guys have kids? You guys have kids? So when they're little, it's so fun, and I know that I'm in a stage right now that isn't going to last forever. My little girl, my two little girls are, the oldest is about to turn 4, and the youngest is about to turn 1, and it's super fun. It's like really an exciting age because the little one is starting to pay attention more and get excited, and the older one is full of energy. And so it's really cool right now when I come home. Both daughters, they'll notice me and they'll come to me, you know, and it's really exciting. You know, the older one, of course, she's 4 years old, so that makes sense. She'll scream, "Daddy," and run to me, and that's really cool. But the little one's starting to do it, and she just says, "Hi," you know. She'll be in her little pen or whatever, and she'll be like, "Hi," you know, and it makes you feel so good. It really does. And I was thinking about that before I came out here, and I was just thinking, like, if I came home from the office and my 4-year-old was sitting there reading a book about me, that'd be interesting. I'd be like, "What? Wow, she's reading, she's studying about me." And then she starts talking to her mom about me, and then she, like, just goes and tells her sister about me, and then her sister looks at the book, and you know, and they. But I would be like interested. I'd be like, "That's kind of cool," but I'd be super bummed if they never just came up to me and gave me a hug. And I was thinking about God as a father, and I was thinking about how sometimes we get so focused on reading and studying, and that's good. It's not a bad thing to do that. I think that there needs to be a balance, and we need to do that. But we forget to just simply engage with God. We forget to simply run toward him, sprint toward him with open arms and say, "Daddy," you know? And I know that that's not natural for us men to do something like that, but just think of God as a father today, and I don't do that with my dad, so I get that, you know. But I do give him a hug. I've been trying to give him awkward hugs lately. Father-son hugs are the most awkward thing in the world, but I've been trying to do it, just trying to be just more present in every part of my life. And so so I want to talk to you guys tonight about fear, and I was going to call this the fear advantage, but I called it the upside of fear. It's October, so I figured that'd be kind of cool. I'm not going to continue 1 Peter. My dad was specific. He didn't want us to do that. He wants to continue 1 Peter. He's excited about it. So he's actually going to do a special continuation of that on Sunday morning. So you guys can come out for that, bring your Bibles, and he'll pick up where he left off last week, and then he'll be back on Wednesday nights. He's just taking a little break for Wednesdays because he's doing Wednesdays and Sundays right now, and he's really busy. So that's cool, right? Is that okay for him? So be praying for him. He's got a lot of energy. He really does, but he's at that point in life where I think God wants him to chill out a little bit, and I think that's good, and I hope he does more and more because, we can do what we need to do to make sure everything continues to go. let's go ahead and pray, and let's believe that God is here, because he is. Let's believe that God is going to continue speaking to you, because he has already started a dialogue with you. He has been speaking to you since you were born, really, but just even if you think a couple days back, because that's my memory, I can think maybe 2 days back. Think about what he was speaking to you on Monday. Think about what he was speaking to you on Tuesday. Think about the things that have been going on in your life, the challenges, the frustrations, the confusions, anything that's been going on in your life, and just ask yourself right now, what is it that God has been trying to say to me? And then now let's engage him and ask him. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you brought us here tonight to spend time with you. I thank you, Lord, that the people that are here tonight, the people that are watching right now, they have an opportunity to really, truly connect with you, for you to be real and for them to acknowledge you as a real being, as a father. And so I pray right now, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts. And I pray that you would open up our ears, our spiritual ears. And I pray, Lord, that you would confirm what needs to be confirmed. I pray that you would discipline us where we need to be disciplined. I pray for grace and mercy, Lord. I pray for protection for everybody that's here that's listening to this. And I pray, Lord, for protection for our families and for our friends and the people around us. I pray that when people look at us, Lord, they would see that we are protected because we are with you and we are in your house. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you just speak through me and really touch our lives tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to show you. I shot a video a couple days ago, and it was intended to go out on YouTube, and it still will probably the next week or so, but no one's seen it yet. And I wanted to share it with you guys tonight because it has to do with exactly what we're talking about tonight. But before that, I want to say a couple things. First, when you're a baby, you are born with two innate fears, they say, okay? I've been reading about this for a long time. And but side note, by the way, I speak about fear and anxiety a lot, quite a bit, actually. And I'm not, like, obsessed with this topic. It's not like it's, like, something that I love to talk about. The reason I talk about fear and anxiety is because it's so prevalent, and I see the effects of fear and anxiety on almost everyone I meet. I see the weight, right? We can call it stress. We can call it worry. We can call it whatever we want to call it. But fear and anxiety keeps us from getting what God is giving us. It keeps us from being blessed by God, because God wants us to be like children. God wants us to be like children, holding our hands open, receiving the blessings. And so many times we're so afraid of our own shadows. We're so afraid of all these things that we're being fed online and through the media and through our friends and through Facebook and through Nextdoor. Anybody have the Nextdoor app? It's worse than Facebook, man. It's crazy. You know, you're like, oh, that guy's down the street right now. He's coming my way. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, that's fine. So there's two fears that we're born with, okay? Two innate fears. And I can attest to this because I have a baby, and I kind of experiment with my baby with these things. That's what babies are good for. The first one is fear of heights, okay? We are born with a fear of heights. And I can attest to this. I put my baby on the bed, and she crawls to the edge of the bed, and I'm there. But she stops. It's like she knows. She knows she shouldn't go over the side of the bed. It's going to hurt. She has this innate fear. So she's born with that, and then born with a fear of loud noises. So two things, fear of heights and fear of loud noises. Now, you can go and look this up on the internet if you want. But the point is that we are born with just two fears, and the rest of the fears that we have in life are learned behaviors. They are learned behaviors, and we probably learn them from our family, right, first. And we probably learn them from the people that are closest to us. Some things are learned at a very, very young age, in the infancy age. Erickson is a psychologist, and he said that trust, building blocks of trust, the basis of trust, is actually something that is built in infancy. So, like, if you you had parents that didn't give you food when you needed food, or they didn't hug you when you needed to be hugged, or they didn't give you what you needed, then you would actually grow up with trust issues. And fortunately, there are a lot of things you can do about that in adulthood, but it seems like to me that the older you are, that you allow these issues to run your life, the harder it seems to fix them. But there's always an opportunity to fix them, especially with God, right? When God moves in our lives, he does miracles. He does amazing things in our life, and he can put that trust back inside of us. He can take those fears away, right? And really, that's what we're going to talk about. But I went through a time about 6 years ago where some of you guys have been around long enough to know. I haven't talked about this a lot, but I felt strongly that I needed to stop speaking because I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I didn't have the right heart when I was speaking. And I noticed this about myself, and I felt like I needed to stop. And so I pulled away. But I do believe at that time that God spoke to me and shared and put some things on my heart that I was supposed to do. Well, I didn't do the things that I was supposed to do. I didn't fill the hole that I was supposed to fill. Instead, I kind of spiraled into kind of a weird place, kind of a dark place, and things. I allowed doubt to come in. I allowed all these things to come in, and I kind of lost faith for a little while, and I struggled. I really did. And so that's what this video is about. I'm kind of sharing that online, and I was thinking of sharing, when I was speaking this, I was thinking of it being for a young audience, but I think it actually is applicable to anybody who has gone through something or is going through something right now. And so it will be up online in the next couple weeks, and if this video, like, touches you or you think somebody else could use it, just hit me up on Facebook and I'll send you a link to it when I put it up, okay? But I want you to go ahead and watch this, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to share a biblical principle about fear that I think will really free you. It'll really give you a lot of freedom, and it'll give you a lot of, it'll allow you to just breathe a breath of relief. And so I'm going to share that with you guys after this video. Let's go ahead and watch that.
So a few years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my life. I was depressed, I was down, I was making bad decisions, and I just wasn't in a good place. And I tried to figure out, like, what led me to that, you know, and how can I get myself out of this place? And it's funny because when you go through dark times, like, sometimes you don't want to fight, you just want to give in and give up. And I don't know, I just was thinking about that time in my life, and something inside of me kept telling me, don't give up. It's going to get better. It will get better. But I felt like I had to do something to make sure that it got better. And so at that time, I started reading books, and I started learning about the psychology of depression, of anxiety, and how those two things go together. And of course I read a lot in the Bible, and I prayed a lot, and I was talking to a lot of friends, and I learned some things back then that I kind of want to share with you, because I think that we are in a time right now where it's unprecedented how much anxiety there is in the world, and it stinks because mainstream media outlets and even some social media companies, like, they're in the business of capturing your attention because that's how their business runs, right? And so the easiest way to capture people's attention is to sell fear, is to sell anxiety, to play on our fears and play on our worst fears and anxieties. And so I see a lot of people that's affecting right now. And so I just wanted to share with you a couple of things that I feel have really helped me dig myself out of a ditch, so to speak. And so first of all, I just want to just talk about what anxiety actually is and what causes it. And then I want to give you guys a remedy, a couple of remedies that have really helped me a lot. So the first thing that you got to understand about anxiety is it's not this mysterious plague that is bothering you, that's overshadowing you, that's forcing you to live in the darkness. Anxiety in its basic form is a habit. It's a habit of your mind. When we start thinking negatively, we develop thought patterns and habits of thinking negatively. And when we do that, it just becomes a part of our life. It becomes a part of who we are. We wake up in the morning, we check the news feed, and we see all these negative things. All that does is just reaffirm our negative thought patterns. And so to see anxiety as a simple habit opens up our minds to the simplicity of changing it. And all you have to do is change your habits, right? Anxiety, if you get into that habit of thinking negatively, it's not a good feeling. It doesn't feel good to be anxious. It doesn't feel good to be depressed. And so what a lot of us end up doing is we end up self-medicating, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or another bad habit, you know, staying up late, watching too much TV, or eating food, donuts, whatever it can be. We fill our minds with, or our bodies with things that make us feel better in the moment, and ultimately that makes us feel worse. If you eat junk food at night, for example, you're gonna feel worse physically, and then you're gonna affirm those negative thought patterns again. And so there's this term that psychologists use called rumination. Maybe you've heard of it. But when we ruminate, what we're doing is we are thinking about negative things that have happened to us or negative things that are happening in the world, and we just keep thinking about those things over and over and over, and it affects us. It like really hurts us. Another thing that we deal with is lack of trust. That's a huge issue. When we see politicians, we see church leaders and people around us that are constantly letting us down, we lack trust. I was reading about trust, and what's interesting is a lot of our lack of trust has to do with what happened to us as children, as babies, as infants. When we were little, if our parents took care of us and gave us food and gave us love and gave us affection, then we have more trust for people. But if you were given less attention as a baby, then you will deal with trust issues throughout your adulthood. But the positive thing is all these things can be fixed. And so I just want to give you two quick remedies to help you deal with anxiety and to help you deal with the things that you're going through. The first is just to simply form new thought patterns. I know this seems childlike, but if you decide that you're going to think about what's happening here and now, that will keep you from thinking about negative things that have happened in the past or negative things that could happen in the future. So the fix for fixing the thing that'll help you fix the negative thought patterns is to think about what's going on right here, right now, to be present in the moment. You've heard this before, like be present in the moment. So it's so important for us to do that. And that's something that I'm trying to do. Is I'm still learning how to do this, how to practice this. It's one thing to say it, but it's a whole different thing to actually, you know, think it through. And so that's one thing that we can do is just focus on the present. The second thing is use fear to your advantage. Now, we all have fear. Fear is a natural response to danger, okay? And it's not a bad thing. It's bad when you allow your fears to control you. And so fear in its simplest form is respect. And when you turn your respect toward something that is good that you trust, then all of a sudden you will have less fear toward things that you can't control and things that could harm you. For example, fearing God, they say, is the beginning of wisdom, right? Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if you fear God, if you fear, have a healthy respect, for God and for your family and for the law and for the structures and the community around you, then you're going to learn to use that fear to your advantage, because you're going to start respecting God and respecting the people around you and respecting the community that you're in. And that is going to protect you from the fears that could affect you, that you think could affect you outside of your control. And what's interesting about it is most of the things that we're afraid of aren't real dangers anyway. And so if you learn to respect what is good and fear what is good, then that will take away your fear from the bad. And so I just wanted to share that with you today. I really do think that we're in an interesting time, and it's so important for us to focus on being positive and focus on being simple and breathing and just living in the moment. And so I encourage you to do that and take every day as it comes, you know, day by day. Live your life, and you got to think about, what are you thankful for today? What are you excited about today? All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
So I was reading an article. One of the things about fear that I think is really interesting, and especially this time of year, is that some people enjoy being afraid. Does anybody know anyone like this? My wife is like this. She grew up watching Freddy and Halloween and all these scary movies. Like, she was 5 years old watching these movies. She was telling me about this. I'm like, this is horrible. I was like, I actually lived these horror stories because my dad was always telling me about demons when I was a kid. So I understand that, but I wasn't allowed to watch the movies. So she watched the fake version. I lived the real version. Both equally exciting, though, I guess. But I was reading this article, and the article is called "Why Is It Sometimes Fun to Be Frightened?" by Margie Kerr. She's a sociologist at Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh. And her and a colleague, Greg Siegel, he's a neuroscientist, they conducted an experiment at one of these extreme horror attractions, okay? And I'm just gonna read you guys some parts of this. It says, over the course of about 35 minutes, visitors experienced a series of intense scenarios where, in addition to unsettling characters and special effects, they were touched by the actors, they were restrained, and exposed to electricity. It was not for the faint of heart. So there's this crazy attraction back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and these people signed up for it, and they studied about 250 people going through this attraction where it was extreme and they were allowed to touch you. This is the type of thing that you have to sign a waiver for, and people sign up for it and they get excited. One of the funnest things that we ever did at the church was we took your junior hires. Some of you guys don't even know this. We took your junior hires up to the ranch house, and we had a haunted house where we picked them up here at the church, and the driver was given a script to tell them about how this house was haunted, and we took them up to the church ranch house, and we dropped them off at the bottom of the hill, and it was pitch black dark, and there's trees, and there's a long driveway. It's about an eighth of a mile, and pitch black, and the kids had to walk up this long driveway, and in the middle of the driveway, we would jump out and scare them, and then they would get to the top. They'd have to go through the house, and it was the craziest thing. We had, like, an old lady that was rocking in a chair when they first came in, and they had a dummy would fall and be hung, and then, like, in the kitchen there was like fake blood everywhere, and then at the end they get chased by a chainsaw, and really, I mean, the only thing that we messed up on is we should have had a salvation message at the very end because they were scared out of their mind, right? But we did it. There was no spiritual side to it at all. We just did it for fun, and some of your kids probably have gone to therapy because of that, and so we apologize. But this study that these guys did, it was very much like that. And what's interesting is they found out some interesting stuff through this study. They studied the people. They put monitors on them that read their brain waves. And they came back with these four different conclusions, and they are this. One, the participants' moods were heightened. They had more energy and less anxiety after the attraction. The participants who rated the attraction as very scary seemed to benefit more than others. The fight or flight scenario would kick in, and it would give them a rush of chemicals to their brain, and some of that is adrenaline, right? And so it would give them kind of a high. The second thing was they felt like they had just overcome a physical challenge. Some of them said that they felt like they had just done like a 5K race, and they felt good about themselves afterwards. The third thing was their negative brain energy. The thoughts that they had before, the ruminations and the worries and fears, they seemed to shut down. That part of their brain seemed to shut down, and that gave them a peaceful feeling. Fourth thing is they had a strong sense of confidence after going through the attraction. It said the fun, scary experiences could serve as an in-the-moment recalibration of what registers as stressful and even provide kind of a confidence boost. And so I thought that was really interesting that the people that went through this scary attraction saw it as a challenge. And then when they got through to the other side, they felt like they had just met this challenge, and they felt like they had just conquered something, right? And I think about that, and I think about a scary haunted house. It's 30 minutes long. You know that it's not really going to hurt you because they can't do that, right? So you know it's not real, but you're allowing them to psych you out. You go through this thing, and it's like, okay, it's going to be scary. And at the end, it's over, and you feel good about yourself. And I think about that, and I think about how big that fear is. And then I think about how big God is compared to that. Now, I'm going to read you guys the couple verses that I had for tonight, just a few verses, okay? I don't have much, but these verses are the pinnacle of everything, and it's important that we understand this. The three verses. One is Psalm 111:10, And it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. So in the fear of God, if you learn to fear God, it says here in these three verses that you will have wisdom, you will have understanding, you will have knowledge, you will have strong confidence, and you will have refuge, which is the same as protection. So you will have all these things if you learn how to fear God. Now, I did kind of a slideshow. I've tried to explain this a few times, and I feel like I didn't do it right. And so this time, I went ahead and created a slideshow, and you guys can go ahead and put that first slide up, because I want you to really understand what it means to fear God. And hopefully this is a springboard for you to do your own study, because there's a lot of verses about it. But slide one, God is much more powerful than any threat which may cause fear. You know this. I know this. But how often do we see it in a picture like this and realize how ridiculous it is to be afraid of little things, especially things that probably aren't real, right? God is huge. He's massive. In Romans 8, it says that he's for you. And if he's for you, then who can be against you? What can be against you, right? So that's who God is. The second slide. When we run away from our fears, they seem larger than they are because of our powerful imagination. When we run away from our fears, we are not confronting them to see how small they actually are. Instead, we're running away. And guess what? When you run away from your fear follows you wherever you go. Wherever you go, you literally cannot run away from your fears because they follow you. I've met people that say that their house was haunted, right? And then they'd move into another house, and that house was haunted. They move into another house, and that was haunted. I'm like, man, fool, you are haunted. You're the one that's haunted, right? You're the one. Stop running and just face it. Slide three, when we face our fears, we realize what is real versus what isn't. And usually, not always, but usually the threat is much smaller than what we can imagine. Okay, usually the threat is much, much smaller. It's no real big deal when we face our fears, right? Slide four, when we instead focus on God, who is for us, right, we begin to realize how much bigger he is than the little threats that surround us. When we focus on God, like I said at the first slide, we realize how much bigger he is. And slide five, when we fully put our fear in God, or we put ourselves in God and learn to fear him and worship him and love him, right? Those threats begin to seem completely harmless. The Bible says to fear God. And I said in that video that fear is in its basic form is about respect, right? And there is a certain amount of respect that I should give a black widow, right? I should give a black widow a certain amount of respect. But to the point where he's in his little area and I see him and I put my hand back and I think I'm going to go get something, a broom or a shoe, and I'm going to kill that sucker, right? So I have respect. I'm not going to like play with him, right? I'm not going to just let him run around on my arm. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to kill him. It's respect. I got respect for the little guy, right? Enough respect to kill him. But when it comes to God, it's no different. But the thing is God is not one to be terrified of as in dread and horror. God is one to be terrified of as a good father you don't want to disappoint, or your good father who can punish you and can make life difficult on you. But how many of you guys have ever gotten in trouble as a kid? How many of you guys know? You did not want to disappoint your parents, right? And I don't know if you guys are with me, but usually we have one person in our life that we really don't want to disappoint. And it's because they either carry a big stick or it's because they just make you feel really bad, right? And with God, he's always going to be there with open arms. He is. But you don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to be running from him. We don't want to be terrified by other things. He's a loving God, and he cares for us. And so when we learn to have this respect, this fear for him, we will all of a sudden have so many less fears of everything else. And that is a very simple idea. And I know that it's not, we didn't get into the word a lot tonight, and I apologize, but I just really felt like it was important to just bring that idea home. Because how many of us know times are a little weird right now, right? We have no idea what's going to happen in the next couple weeks. It's going to get crazy, right? And so the best thing that we can do is we can run toward God. There's one scripture I want to share with you in the very end right now that they don't have back there. Sorry, guys. Isaiah 41:10 is the one. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you." This is God speaking. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10. If you guys need a memory verse to get through a hard time, that would be a good one. So let's just pray that God would allow us to be simple and childlike enough to come running into his arms and to look for him when we go through little issues and big issues, right? If we don't trust him with the little things, it's going to be a lot harder to trust him with the big things. Even if it seems childish, even if it seems like something we can handle, let's learn the practice of living in him and living in his fear and respect and just bringing everything to him. Bring everything to him. Let's get into that practice so that when big things do come, we are already in that habit. We're already in that way of thinking where we are trusting him with everything. Does that make sense? All right, Father, we thank you for who you are. And God, I just pray that you would move in our lives, Lord. And I pray that you'd bring us close to you. I pray that, Lord, whatever anyone is going through here tonight, I pray that they would look to you. And as they do that, that trial, that challenge, that issue would shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink until they realize how little it really is compared to you. I pray that you'd be big in our lives. I pray that you'd be real in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would acknowledge you in everything that we do. Lord, love you, God. And we thank you for who you are. And I thank you that no matter what happens in the next 2 weeks and the election and all this crazy stuff, Lord, that you are still our God. You are still on the throne. And you put us here on this earth right here, right now for a reason. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.